when I was in sixth grade, I got in a fight. And it was, I was playing dodgeball in gym class, and one of my friends was team captain. And so he picked me, and I was really excited. I was like, yay, I get to play early. And I wasn't used to being played early. But there was another kid who was much more athletic than me, who was not selected for that round. And he was not happy about that situation. And so after class, we went back to the locker room. We're changing out of our gym clothes, and he shoved me into a locker. That was the end of the fight. And so my company is I cut my ear and he was suspended. And so I ended my record 0-1. I retired. It's not for me. But my friend, and he was a friend of mine, he was upset. He thought it wasn't fair. He wanted justice. He deserved to be in that game. I was upset. I didn't think it was fair to take it out on me. We both wanted justice, but in a limited sense. We really just wanted justice for ourselves. And so often, we all want justice. We long for justice. When we're sick, when our loved ones are sick, when we are hurt, when we see others hurting, when we feel like we're losing at life, we long for justice. The people of Israel longed for justice. Justice from Roman rule, justice for a better future. They longed for it. We've heard a lot of scripture tonight, but I want to go back to Luke chapter 2. It's the famous nativity account, the one with all the major players. And so, but the interesting thing about Luke chapter 2 is the first name mentioned is not Joseph or Mary or baby Jesus. It's not the wise men, because they're not in Luke. They don't come until later. It might be a take them away, but I don't know. It kind of fits with the crash. But they're not them. The first person mentioned is Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus, who made peace across the empire, who founded the empire, who ended the second civil war in Rome. Caesar Augustus, who started the Pax Romana, which spread peace through the sword, through the imperial army. It existed due to his strength. The poet Virgil dedicated his great epic poem, the Aeneid, to Augustus. And more than dedicated, it was a propaganda piece. It was this great conflation of Greek myth with the founding of Rome in order to show how all had been chosen for Augustus. And he even includes Augustus in the poem. I was thinking about doing Latin, but I think I'm going to do the English tonight. And this in truth is he whom you so often hear promised you, Augustus Caesar, son of God, who will again establish a golden age in Latium, amid fields once ruled by Saturn. Sounds pretty messianic, right? Sounds like they're longing for this savior. And savior figures weren't unique to Israel. Augustus is a man who is godlike, who's looked on in these divine ways. What we have in Caesar is a rival figure, a rival bringer of peace, a rival bringer of justice. Augustus brings the justice that people expect. Peace won with the sword. The peace that meets the needs of the few at the expense of the many. So Caesar represents one form of salvation, the peace of exclusion. And most people in Israel thought that that's what they wanted. They just wanted to turn the tables. They just wanted the Romans to be oppressed. They wanted to be the oppressors. They wanted a great warrior to bring peace, but their peace. The salvation Caesar brings is mighty tempting. Most people have fallen for it at one time or another. It is the temptation to be blind to the sufferings of your neighbors. It is the temptation to be content with your own present comfort. It is the temptation to ignore the realities of death and disease, the realities of brokenness, of depression, of addiction, of loneliness, to ignore them unless they're staring you in the face And then to feel like you're the greatest victim of all time because suddenly you have to deal with it. Caesar is the savior of convenience. Caesar is the savior if you already have enough food to eat, if you already have enough money in your bank account, if you already have a home, if you don't have to worry about persecution. Caesar's your guy. Some of us may have been blessed, maybe blessed in that position. Some of us more than others. Yet no matter how privileged anyone is, all privilege recedes in the face of death, in the face of brokenness and of sin. God goes deeper than this. So deep, it may be uncomfortable. One of the more unique passages in the Bible is found in the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. In the early church, it was kept from people who converted. You weren't allowed to read it until you had reached a certain spiritual mastery. I'll read just a little bit. Oh, that you would kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your love is better than wine. Draw me after you, let us make haste. The king has brought me into his chambers. Okay, this is very different stuff, right, than what we read earlier. It's not often read on Christmas Eve. The way the early church would read it was as this allegory, as of the female speaker being the church, longing for Jesus, longing for the king. And I don't want to focus on the allegory tonight as much as the intimacy of it. This is not a public book. It's not about great wars. It's not about kings. It's not about prophets. It's not about laws. It's about intimacy. It's about vulnerability. God with us, Emmanuel, goes deeper than any public figure could. God is with us in our intimacy. God is vulnerable to us as a lover. Because as John says, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love is about vulnerability. At Christmas, we see our God completely vulnerable before us as a child. The intimacy of the Song of Songs points to the intimacy God seeks with us, the intimacy made possible due to the incarnation, due to God becoming flesh. Grace is the name we give for the fact that God turns God's self toward us. When we are looking astray, when we are clinging to our Caesars, when we are clinging to ourself, God turns toward us. God condescends to us in vulnerability as a child. And the humility of God does not end at God's birth, as Paul describes in Philippians 2. And being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. God puts on all that is human so that all that is human may be redeemed. The rich and the poor, the slave and the free, the persecuted and the privileged, God puts on all that is human so that the divisions we make between ourselves will be destroyed, so that the divisions we make between ourselves and God will be torn down, so that death will be defeated, so that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be no more crying or weeping or gnashing of teeth. People are longing for justice. In my schoolyard fight, we were longing for justice. Around the world, people are crying for justice. And the gospel gives us two rival versions of justice, two rival bringers of justice. And Caesar the strong are blessed. And Jesus Christ, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom is theirs. And Caesar, those who are wealthy and satisfied are blessed. And Jesus Christ, blessed are the poor and those who hunger and thirst for justice. And Caesar, the unmerciful, are blessed with power. And Jesus Christ, blessed are the merciful. And Caesar, blessed are the war makers. And in Jesus Christ, blessed are the peacemakers. In Caesar, the Roman citizens are blessed. And everyone else is just a cog in the machine, is a barbarian or a slave. In Jesus Christ, there is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer male or female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. The salvation Caesar offered 2,000 years ago is still offered today. Caesar's still around, it just looks different. To some, Caesar is still the government. To others, it may be your job. To others, it may be your bank account. We are all offered fleeting salvations and promises of comfort, for a comfort that passes swiftly before the brokenness of the world. Caesar is the promise to give comfort at the expense of others. Caesar is the promise of a life free from the rabble. And Jesus Christ says that God is in the rabble. Jesus Christ says that God is in your neighbor, even in your enemy, even in the person who voted for the other guy. God is there. At Christmas, God went deeper with Jesus Christ. And God wants to go deeper with each of us. God wishes to have us each throw off our burdens, each throw off our temptations, each throw off the ways we seek false saviors, the ways we seek to save ourselves, or to think that this world doesn't need saving or it can't be saved, the ways we deny death, the ways we shrink from the mystery of faith. It is right and good to long for justice, to long for a world made right. It is right and good to work for that justice, but we must realize that we are not the saviors of this world. Caesar is not the savior of this world. Christ gave himself on the cross. Christ gave of himself at Christmas, at becoming human, at becoming like us so that sin would not win, so that brokenness would not triumph, so that death would not be victorious. Christ not only brings justice, Christ is justice. Christ is the justice of God for all people, not just the few at the expense of the many, and not just the many at the expense of the few. For God so loved the world, not just one little portion. And Jesus is God and human reconciled, so that we humans, broken as we are, flickering as we are like one string of lights on a tree, that we humans may be reconciled to God and may be reconciled to each other. In Christ, we don't passively let go of seeking justice. Instead, we do justice. We love mercy by doing the work of the one who is justice. And so come to the table, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. Justice is here. Peace is here. Not the justice that flees, not the peace that is a lie, the justice that looks evil in the face and says, not today. The peace that goes beyond the surface. The peace that passes understanding, the shalom of God. Come to the table, all you who find comfort in Caesar. Repent, turn to God. The kingdom of heaven is near. Come to the table. All you who are frightened and scared and lonely and depressed, you are not alone. Come to the table, all you who are unsure, all you who doubt. You don't have to save yourself. You don't have to save your family. Lay your burden down. Jesus is here this day. God is with us. We are not alone, and God will give you rest. In the name of the Father, and the Son,